Lord, I'm going to get into the Word tonight. And we love God's Word. Amen. But since I open with prayer, just agree with me. Every time I pray over the Word, I feel it's really significant because this is the part of the sermon, probably more than anything else, that gets out there. And you guys would be pleasantly surprised how many people are following this ministry and hear these sermons, and it goes farther than what you think. It goes outside of our nation. It goes across this nation. And there's thousands of people that listen to these. Far more people are listening to the Word than is here presently. So let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight as we get into the Word of the Lord. Lord, we know the power of the Word, and I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit that's here in an awesome way tonight. Of course, we'll pray for people. God will touch people tonight in an awesome way. But Lord, we need the Word, we love the Word, and we thank you for your Word. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who has healed, the one who is healing, and the one who will heal in the future. And Lord, I thank you, you are our healer. And Lord, as we pray tonight, I thank you for an open heaven, your glory here, the power of God's presence. And I thank you, Lord, for this going out everywhere it needs to. That even now the Holy Spirit is moving upon every one of us that are going to be listening or watching this. And the Holy Spirit's helping us to be good soil that will be tuned into what God is saying. And by the grace of God, being able to see what we couldn't see, hear what we couldn't hear before, to understand things that we couldn't understand, but the Holy Spirit helps us. And Lord, I thank you that the faith comes by hearing, that this word will produce, Lord, a faith in people tonight, and that this will get in our spirit. And I thank you for this series overall, just really producing heart faith in people. But the wind of the Spirit carry this out among the nations, it'll get where it's supposed to accomplish what it's supposed to. It'll be like seed sown in a good soil, watered by the Holy Spirit, taking root and growing and producing a hundredfold harvest of eternal fruit, fruit that remains. And Lord, we thank you tonight as we pray. The birds of the air try to steal the seed. That's the enemy. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name that would try to hinder this word. We take authority and we command it to be bound. And you will back off away from the word. You're not going to hinder it in any way in Jesus' name. But it will not return void, but go forth and accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. We believe it tonight. We expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this is part 9, and I've entitled this Love and Life, but this is a little bit different, but I want to share a few things, and then like I said before, we're going to pray for people. But there might be some things in this that you haven't heard before. Now, going way back when we started this series, remember that faith is not a feeling. It's not mentally agreeing with the truth. It is deeper than that. It's a spiritual thing. It's something where the Word of God gets in your spirit. And even though your emotions sometimes can be all over the place because you're going through stuff. How many have been through some stuff? But your faith, there's something that can get down in your spirit. There's an anchored faith. And I know there's been times where God spoke to my wife and I things, and we knew it was God. But at the same time, it seemed like everything began to happen the opposite of what God was saying. But eventually, God brought it to pass. So faith is something that goes beyond what you see, beyond what you feel in the natural. And even though your emotions are all over the place, it's not in that realm. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than your human soul. It's down in your spirit, man. And it's important that we develop faith and that we get the word down in our spirit, because there's going to come times where we're going to desperately need to have faith to believe God for things that we couldn't before. And I know, and a dear brother that you guys know, he's been a spiritual father in many ways to me in this ministry. And he's from Argentina. And I know that for example, just here recently, one of his sons, little baby girl, just born, had a severe brain bleed, and they thought she was going to die, but he was praying. He called me, asked me to pray. My wife and I were praying. And we stood in faith, and when you're dealing with a tiny baby, they were saying, they look at it from a purely medical perspective, but they're saying we couldn't operate because we're afraid it would kill the baby. Now, they were waiting to see if it got to the point to where the baby was going to die anyway. It's like, well, let's just operate and see what we can do, right? But we were praying. And I don't remember some little things that they did, but it wasn't anything that should have made a big difference. But they were watching and seeing. And all of a sudden, the baby started recovering. All of a sudden, everything started working out. Next thing you know, the baby's going home. And now it's just under observation. But see, the power of... Here's my point in saying that. My dear brother, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this came literally out of left field. All of a sudden, his grandchild could die tomorrow. It's like a life-threatening... He's getting on a plane flying. All of a sudden, life changed like that. You can't all of a sudden start saying to yourself, well, you know what, I'm going to start meditating on faith scriptures. I'm going to develop faith now. It's a little late for that. You need to have faith before you get in those situations. All right, so let's give a few things tonight. The life and power of God. So healing, there's a famous story. I'm not going to read this story. I'm just going to say this, and then we'll read some scriptures. But there's a famous story in the Bible where there was a woman in Jesus' day. She's known as the woman with the issue of blood because under the culture, under the law of Moses, when a woman had a menstrual cycle, the blood caused her to be spiritually unclean for a short time. And then there was a water immersion, and she was back to spiritual cleanliness again. But this poor woman lived with a medical condition where she was constantly bleeding. So she was constantly in a state of spiritual uncleanness that would have kept her away from the temple, that would have kept her from being able to be in contact with other people in that culture, because she had to separate herself from people because she was contaminated spiritually. I know that American mindset isn't going to understand this, but just work with me. That's the mindset of that time under the law of Moses. That's just the way it was. So she felt lonely. She felt isolated. She felt probably shamed. And she was also dealing with the feeling of she was going to all the doctors, spent all of her money trying to get cured. Nothing was working. So you got to understand she was at a point of desperation. Now, being a Jewish girl, I'm sure that she was familiar with the scriptures, and there was a scripture, the prophet Malachi prophesied that they would be the son of righteousness, and he was speaking about the coming Messiah. The son of righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. Now, that's a metaphor because during that time, Jesus would have wore some kind of a tunic that would have had the fringes on them called the tzitzit. So it was like a tallit, a prayer shawl, but it was in the form of a tunic. And when they would lift their hands like this, it was a metaphor of healing in his wings, okay? And here she is desperate, and she knows this prophecy. She obviously believes that he's the son of righteousness, or she wouldn't have pursued this. Does this make sense? Now, out of pure desperation, she gets down on the ground, and she's crawling through the crowd, trying to work her way through legs to get to where Jesus was. And she was saying to herself, faith, right? The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. If I can just get to him, and I can grab just the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I know I will. See, that's faith. And faith drove her to crawl through that crowd, work her way through there. And Jesus didn't even pray for this woman, which was really something, because we always read about the Lord praying for people. He didn't pray for her. He didn't even know that she was coming up behind him. All of a sudden, virtue, the Bible says healing virtue, shot out of him. He felt it. And all this crowds of people around him, and she had grabbed the corner of his garment. And everybody's crowding around, probably people trying to touch him. And all of a sudden, Jesus makes this statement and says, who touched me? And the disciples are like, who didn't touch you? I mean, everybody's touching, and Jesus said, no, there's somebody that just tapped into the healing virtue. And it ends up being this woman. Now, she probably felt like she was going to get in trouble, because she was spiritually unclean because of the flow of blood, and she's not supposed to be touching people. Does this make sense? Because it has a defiling effect on others. And so Jesus is like, who touched me? And she's probably thinking, I came here for a healing, and now I may get struck dead because I just did something I wasn't supposed to do. But Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And she was healed from that day forward. But it was her faith that laid hold of that healing virtue. But I want you to notice something, that Jesus felt healing virtue go from him and flow into her body. That's kind of what I'm talking about tonight, is the healing virtue of God. So there's a Hebrew word called chai, C-H-A-I, chai, and it means life. It's a very common word in the Hebrew culture, and a lot of people name Chaim, and really that's the derivative of where they got Chaya from, but it means life. Now, the Greek counterpart to that word is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. It means life. And so, how many knows that Satan is the god of death? But what is Jesus? He says, what? I've come to give you life. And so there's some type of a flow of life. There was this woman that there was a word of knowledge that came to her about healing. And true story, I heard it not long ago. She had had something happen where a disease of some kind had gotten on the bottom of her feet. And it was like eating away. And it was very serious. It was like an infection. And she was praying, crying out to God. And there was this word of knowledge over the TV. People are praying and said, there's a woman, described her condition, you're being healed. But at first, she believed it, but at first, nothing seemed to change. But she stayed in faith, Lord, I thank you. That word of knowledge is still mine. And she went through a period of time. I mean, she's dealing with this, and she believed the word, but it went on for a while before. And she said that she ended up at this doctor's office, and they had her in some kind of an MRI or something, and she's laying there. And she's like, Lord, I know that that word of knowledge was for me. And there's been a significant period of time that's passed. And all of a sudden, she's laying there, and she says she felt the power out of nowhere. She felt the power of God come on her, and she said it was like life. She says she just felt like rivers of life flowing through her. And she said she came out of that, and next thing you know, her feet cleared up, and she was healed. What was that? That was the life, the virtue of God. In this one particular revival in the 90s, they used to say that there were times, I've told this story, but this was one of my personal experiences at the revival where I was just sitting there and a bunch of people were waiting to get prayer after the church service because they had altar workers. It was really powerful. And this guy was standing next to me. I never met this guy. There was other people around me, but he was like, hey, man. And he was like pulling out his driver's license. And he's showing me, he's like, look at this. And I'm like, okay, you know, And in his driver's license, his picture, I'm telling you, the guy's neck was like almost from the ends of his shoulders in. I don't know what the disease would be called, but this guy had a huge neck in his driver's license. And he goes, look at my neck. And I look at him, and it has shrunk down, and it was almost completely normal. I would say it's a little bit bigger than mine and probably just a tiny bit bigger than it should be. But, I mean, compared to where it was. And he told me, he said, isn't this something? He said, I keep coming, and every time I come, my neck shrinks. And he's showing me the driver's license, so there ain't no denying it. He wasn't making it up. He was excited. He just wanted to tell somebody, you know. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. And he goes, it needs a little bit more, but he said, I'm going to get that tonight. And I said, yeah, you will. And so healing virtue, they said in this move of God that there were times when all of a sudden they would feel in the sanctuary like, if you go from being indoors and you go outside in the summer and you feel the sunlight shine on your skin and you have that sensation, they said they'd be in there worshiping the Lord and all of a sudden they would feel like sunlight came on them. And they said they knew when they felt that healing virtue had just entered the room. You know what that is? That's the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. Do a Hebrew study for yourself. If you read that in the Hebrew, healing in his wings has to do with rays of light. So I'm trying to show you that there's a literal life of God, a healing virtue that flows into people. And so let me give you some scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, we've all tapped into this, even though you may not have realized this. How many knows when you truly accept Christ as your Savior, you have died to the old man? I mean, there is a death, and what happens? There is a resurrection to a new life. Spiritually speaking, you've been raised from the dead. You were dead in your old trespasses and sin, and you've been made alive. I mean, whether you really realized it in this context, and maybe not thought about it in this way, but the life of God came into you and spiritually raised you from the dead. So let me show you some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old things pass away. Look, all things become new. But look at 2 Peter 1:4. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence, by which he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these things you might become partakers in what? The divine nature. Are y'all reading this with me? The divine nature. And escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Divine nature. That's what I'm talking about. The life of God came into your spirit so that you can be born again. That same life, the Bible says in Romans 8:11, which is on this in these notes as well. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through a spirit that lives in you. So there is that life of God in you that's there because of the new birth. And God's wanting life to not just be in your spirit that you're born again, but he's wanting his life to move its way into your soul. How many knows that God wants his life to go into your thought processes, into your emotions, and heal your soul area, and he wants his life to go into your body? And let me tell you something. This is the truth, and I heard another preacher talk about this, so I know what I'm talking about. I've known intercessors. And let me tell you about true intercessors that know how to get in prayer, and they know how to get deep in the spirit. The Bible talks about there being this unction, okay? When people get in the spirit and they begin to really pray in the spirit, there's some kind of an anointing, like an unction, the life of God that they're praying through. And I've known intercessors down through the years, and I heard this other preacher mentioning this, and I thought, man, he's right, because I've experienced this, that even though they can be 80, 90 years old, they still are in pretty good health and getting around, and you're thinking, how in the world? Because other people aren't like that. Okay, one of them that y'all remember, some of you do, is that lady Fran, who was in her 90s. That's not excluded to her. I've known other people. You know why? Because they would get in the spirit, and they knew how to pray in the spirit, and they were quickened by the life of God. And it did something to their mortal body. Let's read it again. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and gives life to your mortal body. That even though they were older, they had tapped into the life of God so many times throughout their life that it caused them to have some type of youth renewal about them in a supernatural realm to their health. Is this making sense? And let me show you Mark 6:53. Jesus carried that life in him, and it says when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored on the shore. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran throughout the surrounding region, began to carry the sick on beds wherever they heard he was. And whenever he entered into the villages, cities, or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and pleaded with him that he might, look at this, touch even the fringe of his garment, healing in his wings. And as many as touched him were healed. So all these people, Jesus is going through, he's walking through sick or on beds, and Jesus might be preaching, he's walking through praying for people, and I'm sure that there's people reaching up, and they're grabbing the corner, the tassel of his prayer shawl, his tunic. They're grabbing that, and healing virtue is shooting into them, just like it did that woman with the issue of blood. And everybody that touched him was healed. Why? The life of God shot through him into them. We've seen this many times. So the life of God, not just a physical healing, but the very first place that we need God's life is in our spirituality, our inner man to be born again, but our spiritual walk. You know what revival really is? It's just raising the dead again. It's that people have died spiritually, churches have died spiritually, they're in a dead place, and God breathes life back in. It's the life of God. And as we begin to walk in that, I believe personally, there's been many stories I could tell, but for the sake of time, just this recent story with Karen, your son, that got healed in his legs, that's what I felt was going on with him. When we were just simply praying for him, there was like some kind of a surge of the presence and the life of God go into him. I felt it like it was here, and then it went into him. And then I walked off, and I knew God had touched him. Next thing I know, he wakes up the next day, and his legs are totally healed. But that was the life of God, you see. So the life of God is available, but it's not just physical healing, but it's the same life that will flow in and heal people's soul. It'll heal people spiritually. It'll heal families. And let me show you, though, how healing really flows. Healing flows through love and compassion and intercession. Let me read this and I'll tell a story. Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. It's Matthew 9:35. He preached the gospel of the kingdom and healed every sickness, every disease among the people. But look at this. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord the harvest, he might send out laborers into his harvest field. But Jesus was moved with compassion. And I think about this story. Oral Roberts, back in the days of the 40s and 50s, and there were so many others, but it wasn't just Oral. There were many, many other tent evangelists that were seeing tremendous healings. But those that travel with Oral tell this story that there were all these prayer requests that had come in. I mean, people writing them down on papers. And I mean, what they did was there were so many of them. They put them on this table. And they were going to stand around and pray over them. And Oral was moved with such compassion. Those that are intercessors, or at least have been around here, when the Holy Spirit is moving in deep intercession, will understand this. Those that are not familiar with it may not. But Oral, as they began to pray, Oral was moved with such compassion for the needs that he laid on the table and he began to groan and weep over the needs. Intercession. You wonder why the healings and miracles were happening, because somebody was groaning and had compassion for the people. And I think that healing virtue is what happened. I was telling my family back here recently, there was another wave of COVID or whatever. And I remember, actually, Zach got hit with it pretty good. But it was affecting me a little bit. And I was at home praying. And I've learned, if God's ever moving on me, to not just get up and go do something else. Amen. And so I was there praying in my chair in my office. And all of a sudden, the glory came on me really strong. And I had these symptoms. And I knew that I'd been exposed to COVID and these symptoms. And so I just sat there in the glory. Do you know, after I got up out of that chair, I stayed in it as long as it was happening to me, right? When I got up out of the chair, did you know the symptoms went away and I started making a recovery? That was the life of God coming upon me, helping me. But I think a lot of times why we're not seeing these things, there's multiple reasons, but I think one of the reasons is there's not a deep burden and compassion to really weep and pray over the needs of the people. And that's why I try to make room for that in our church as much as I can, for intercessors to really pray and get in the Spirit, because I know that as people groan and travail over the needs of healings and deliverances and miracles, that God is doing that. But the church is called to be a house of prayer, and that's why things happen. And whenever the lack of prayer is there, that's where things begin to diminish. And I'm going to give you something else as we're going through this. We are Christ's body, the temple of the Spirit. Now, the greater body, and that's why it's important also that we understand this principle. I don't have a denominational tag, and I'm not caught up in that. So let me tell you a quick story about that. So when I was at a particular denomination many years ago, this probably was 1997, something like that. And I was helping out with the youth, and I remember that they had fundraised to go to this revival that's going on in Pensacola. And you know, they were really excited about it. Now, listen, God was really moving in this place very powerfully. I knew if I could get those young people there, that God would mightily touch them. They'd never be the same. But they had fundraised and got all the money together. I was just helping out with the youth. I wasn't in a position to make any major decisions or anything. And all of a sudden, the pastor comes to me after they fundraised and got all excited and everything was done. We were going to leave like in a couple of weeks or something. And he says to me, pulls me aside and says, "You guys aren't going." I said, "Well, why? What happened?" He said, "Well," he said, "the revival's going on in such and such denomination, and we are this denomination," which was different. And he said, "Well, you're not going." And so killed that, and they didn't get to go. Guys, there's something seriously wrong with this. You understand? So denominations are man-made, and they're divisive, and I'm not being against denominations. Let me just say this. Regardless of whatever group it is out there, crossing economic lines, crossing racial lines, crossing denominational lines, if we're truly born again, we're all God's people. So you need to be careful with that, because you can miss something that God really has for you. I wonder, because some of those youth, I ended up moving on from there, and I know that some of them really didn't turn out really well, but I wonder what would have happened if they went there and had a life-altering experience. You know? Now, there was another story of a lady that laid up in the hospital, true story, laid up in the hospital, and she was really sick. And she contacted her pastor, and she asked that he come pray for her in the hospital, because she knew she was very sick and needed help. And he knew in his church that there was a guy on staff that happened to be a black man, but he had a very powerful anointing for healing, the gift of healing or whatever, but he was very used in healing. So he sent him to pray for her, but just so happens this lady was a racist. And she didn't want prayer from him because he was black. And so she refused it. And he said, "Okay," you know, so he left. And she got worse, to the point to where she knew that she was probably going to die. And she was very weak. And she couldn't move very much, but she got the nurse's attention. And the nurse bent way over so she could hear her. And she said, "Please tell my pastor to come and pray for me and send anybody that needs to come. I don't care who it is. He wants to send the black man again. Just send somebody." So the pastor sends the black guy again. You know, he stood there and prayed for her. What a sweet guy to let that go and not get offended, right? But he prayed over her, anointed her, laid hands. Did you know that healing virtue shot through that woman and she was totally healed and walked out of the hospital? Did you know that if she wouldn't have got past the division there, she would have died? So my point is that how many times, if we're not careful, have people in different groups isolated themselves so much so that they won't receive from another denomination or another church or somebody of a different race because of whatever reason that they have, their prejudice, whatever it is. And they're missing out on so much that God could do in their life. You guys remember the different people we've had come through here? And there's always been a real move of God. I remember Pastor John Paul from India. Remember him? Tremendous anointing flowed through. Brother Yahambe from the Congo. We've had people from Argentina. We've had people from different denominations, different backgrounds, different ethnicities. And every time God's moved in such a tremendous way. Wouldn't it be sad that somebody would close themselves off like that from what God wants to do? Now, here's my point in that. We need to be careful because we are the greater body of Christ. And if we shut ourselves off to certain groups, that group may be the source of your healing, your revival, the answer to your prayers and your kids. It could be the source of breakthrough that you desperately are crying out for. And God says, "I have it for you and I have it through this group over here, but you've got a wall up and won't let them get to you." And also, not just the greater body, but now let me bring it down to this. The Bible also says that you as an individual, if you're truly born again, and you're truly God's, that your physical body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that, because Moses built a tabernacle, and the glory came into that tabernacle. So if I could say it this way, we are little living, breathing tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And so I want to show you some scriptures. Have you ever thought about this? That because the Holy Spirit, God himself, is living in you, God wants his temple to be healed and whole. Have you ever thought about it that way? So Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Did you notice that? Which is his body. Did you know that we're Christ's body? Don't miss this point, because I think this is actually really powerful for somebody. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord cares for the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, his bones. Have you ever thought about the fact that we are Christ's actual, he considers us his body, and that he wants his temple, his body, to be healthy? Is this making sense tonight? When I was reading this and I was thinking along these lines, I come to realize this. I thought about the fact that God is dwelling in us and he's with us. And you know as well as I do that he wants his temple, he wants his people, his body, to be healthy. 1 Corinthians 6:13, food is for the belly, belly for the food, but God will destroy them both. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God has raised up the Lord, talking about Jesus, from the dead, and he will also raise us up by his own power. Do you not know that your bodies are parts of Christ? What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. So the body, we are members of Christ's body, and he wants his body in health. So how are some like conduits of healing, points of contact? We'll give you some things to think about. So we've got to have faith in this, because faith is what causes things to happen. But one of the ways that God brings healing to his people is through the communion table. There's been more than one story I've heard of people that took communion. Do you know Smith Wigglesworth took communion every day? This was back in a time when it wasn't taught like that. So he got that straight from the Lord. But I've heard of other people that took communion daily, and as they got older, they had some type of health and longevity about them because of doing that. But I want you to see something in John 6:53. Jesus said to them, now this was a group that followed him, but they were only following him for the miraculous food that he did. So he was kind of rebuking that because they were following him for the wrong reasons, okay? But Jesus said in John 6:53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's not about the communion table, but I want you to notice, everybody say life. Okay, he said you have no life in you. Now, it's interesting that the Lord would reference this healing virtue, this life. And then it says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Derek Prince said something I never forget. That scripture right there, and I will raise him up on the last day. Derek asked this question. When we take communion, he said, could it be that of all the people in the world, that God's true people that are born of him, that are really his blood covenant people, that when we take communion, nobody else is doing this around the world, right? When we take communion, that it's actually doing something to your body, preparing it for the resurrection of the dead. Whew, isn't that powerful? Anyway, so it says this, whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's talking about the first raising is at the rapture. Then it says, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood remains in me, and I in him. That's interesting. Think about this scripture. We read over it too quick. I'm in them and they're in me. This is that abiding in the vine. If you abide in the vine and you're connected, there's a flow of life. Are you seeing this? And then he says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me also will live because of me. Live. So he's putting an emphasis on life here. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers. He's talking about ancient Israel who ate the man in the wilderness and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. And he said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Are you seeing that? So many people through the communion table have experienced healing and health and life. But it has to come through faith. The second way that God, and these are ways also that God uses to consecrate people, is through the waters of immersion. I want you to remember, of course, Naaman the leper. How many remember the story? Naaman, he dipped 7 times and came up healed from leprosy. Okay. But I want you to see John chapter 5, verse 2. There was this interesting scripture in the Bible where it says in Jerusalem by the sheep gate there was this pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having 5 porches. So a picture of this pool, and it had 5 different porches around it. And listen to this. This is interesting. It says, in these lay great crowds of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water, because an angel would go down at a certain time into the pool and stir the waters. After stirring the waters, whoever stepped in was healed instantly of whatever disease they had. That's interesting, isn't it? So God uses the waters of immersion. There's many stories I could tell, but even in River of Life, I have personally seen people both healed and delivered through water baptism. I've seen it. And so there is something in that. And I know in North Georgia, in Dawsonville, Georgia, there's been a particular revival that is, God has moved through water baptism there. And so people, there's been tremendous healings. I went there and I got baptized. I met with the pastor, Todd, and we talked, and he was all excited. He was showing me his cell phone about different things. But one was this lady who had had an MRI of whatever, full of cancerous tumors. Went there and got baptized, and he was showing me the after picture, and all the tumors disappeared. So God uses the communion table to release that healing life in people. But he also uses the waters of immersion to kind of cleanse and heal and deliver people. Very powerful what I'm trying to tell you here. And then the anointing with oil. James 5:14, for those that are familiar with this passage, says, if there's any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church to anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will bring healing to the sick. How many times, I don't even know, I've anointed people and prayed over them as a pastor, and they've been healed. I mean, countless times. And so I remember the other day I'd had a particular thing going on with me, and my dad happens to be the elder in our church that I was with. He was taking me out for my birthday. But I was dealing with something in my health, and I have a keychain that had a little thing of oil. And I said, hey, before we go, so here we are in a secular parking lot of a restaurant. We're not in church. And I was like, hey, look, can you anoint with oil and pray over me? And so I got the oil. I kind of put some on, and he was just praying for me. Simple prayer about healing. But my body was just trembling as we were praying, just vibrating. And I felt myself kind of going backward, and I caught myself. And did you know that was the turning point right there? But let me tell you about healing. Healing is not just like instantaneous. Many were healed as they went. And signs follow. I'm going to get to this in a moment. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But healing will happen, and then you start a recovery from that point that could take days or weeks. Everybody follow me, because this is important. Because while God's healing you, you've got to keep your mouth in agreement with that healing. Because at some point, if you start speaking the opposite, it can hinder that, or it could try to come back. So you have to be in agreement with what God is doing. But James 5:14 says, if you anoint with oil the elders and pray for the sick and have faith, it says the prayer of faith will bring healing. And so this was all through the scriptures where people anointed with oil for different reasons. But you see here the anointing with oil for the sick. And I know many, many times, whether it be my wife, whether it be my family, grandkids, other people in the church, we've anointed people and prayed over them, and that was the turning point where they began to be healed. And we know that in Mark 16:16-20, it says, these signs follow them who believe. So let me explain the follow part. There's a missionary saying that he would go into remote areas, kind of out in the jungle, and he would go to a place that's never heard the gospel. They have no idea who Jesus is. And so he's going in there, and what do you do? Well, he would say, is there anybody sick? And he would begin to pray for people. And God would heal somebody, and then all of a sudden now they're all listening to him. So he gives them the gospel, and they all give their life to Jesus. Then he says, now I'm going to go through and pray for everybody else, and people are getting delivered from demons. People, you know, he's praying for the sick, but he says he'll pray for everybody and leave. Many of them still have their symptoms, but he'll come back to that village at a later time, and they'll all come up to him and say, when you left, days, weeks later, all these miracles were still happening. As people's bodies were changing, and they were coming up with testimonies. Does this make sense? One lady, I'll tell you one story from this guy, had a basketball-sized tumor in her stomach. Basketball-sized. He said it was huge. She looked like she was pregnant, but she was an older lady. And, you know, he's kind of a rough character, and they all said, you know, can you heal her? He said, well, no, but Jesus can. But he said, all of you are going to get saved before I pray for her. So, okay, so they all get saved, you know. He said, I'm not praying for grandma until everybody gives their life to Jesus. So everybody gets saved. And he says, all right, we're going to pray for grandma. He prays for her and believes. He says, okay, it's done. And he leaves, yet grandma still has a basketball-sized tumor. This was the story. He's gone. A few days later, grandma stood up to go do something, and it fell out of her. And she was totally healed. So these signs follow. I think a lot of times the problem is that people are always wanting everything right then, or they don't believe that it actually happened. That's a huge mistake. We pray with faith and we believe by faith. We don't go by sight. We don't go by feeling. We go by faith, and then all these things unfold because we believe God. It's the same way in life. How many times have my wife and I had to pray about something and we had to believe it to be done even though nothing had changed in the natural? And as we were in faith that it had been done and we were staying in faith and speaking faith, eventually the natural changed into what we were believing for. It materialized, if you will, whatever it was, a financial miracle or something else. But we had to pray it in. So don't go by, and I wonder sometimes people that don't understand this but live too much by feelings. I quit living that way a long time, but one time I went to a meeting, and for whatever reason, I think the devil just didn't want me there, but I got hit, and I did not feel good at all. And I had a friend of mine who's really anointed for healing, and I said, pray for me, and I'll be healed. And he said, okay, well, you know, he wasn't ready for this. And I said, it doesn't matter. When we agree, I'm going to be healed. Just pray. He said, you have faith. He prayed for me. You know, I started feeling better. Because I didn't go by how I felt. I didn't care about how I felt. I didn't care about anything else other than I knew that if we prayed about it, God would take care of me, you know. And so there's this faith. And I remember one time years ago, I was in Bible school, so this had to be 96. And I was a young man. I saw this guy that prayed for me. He was a pastor. Then he was actually one of my Bible school teachers. And he was the pastor of this church where I was going. And he's the sweetest guy, you know. But, I mean, I got hit. I don't know if you've ever had this before where you're fine and all of a sudden you just get hit with, like, the flu. I mean, and it's a sudden thing. And I'm sitting there. I got hit. And I'm going to church or whatever. So I kind of set off by myself real isolated. I was like, Lord, help me. Because, I mean, it came suddenly, and I was really not doing good. One of those where it would be hard to walk across the room. And it came sudden. Well, this guy, I knew something was going on with him because he was a real big guy, real heavyset guy. But I noticed that in Bible school when I was in class is he taught on preaching. That, you know, time was going on, and I'm sitting there looking at him, and he's getting thinner and thinner. You know, and then all of a sudden, these really old-looking suits he started wearing. I'm talking like from the 60s. You know, the colors and the big collars, and I was like, what's going on? And he keeps getting skinnier and skinnier in his clothes. So he was keeping it to himself, but he was on an extended fast, you know. And he was breaking out the old suits. I guess back when he was skinnier, he never threw them out, you know. But he had some really, really old suits. Well, long and short of it, he was at the end of this fast. I didn't really know any of this till later. But I'm sitting there at church, and this is like after his fast. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, Lord, please help me, you know. So he's going down through the aisle just praying for people. And so I just kind of stood up and said, pray for me for healing, and he prays for me. And I remember I fell out, but let me say, I felt life shoot through my body. As soon as he laid his hand on my head, I felt life go through me, and I hit the ground. When I got up and I sat back down in my pew, I said, whoa, I knew God had touched me, but I still didn't feel good. So then church is over. And we're going out to eat. And I'm going to the restaurant, and I'm feeling a little bit better. We get there to eat, and all of a sudden my appetite's back, and I'm feeling like I need to eat. So I'm eating. And by the time I left the restaurant and was going back home, I was feeling almost 100%. And by the end of the day, I was 100%. And so I saw him years later, and I was talking to him because he's such a sweet guy, and I was telling him some stories. And I was reminding him of the fast and about his old suits. You know, he's just kind of laughing with me. But I said, oh, I need to tell you that story. And I was telling him that. And he was just really, his head was going down. He's just a real humble guy. He's like, well, yeah, I was on a fast. And I was like, well, God used you, brother, to bring some healing in my life. But the laying on of hands can release healing in people. Amen. So if we will have faith, I know next week we're going to take communion. We're going to anoint people with oil. We're going to water immerse those that want it. But how many knows that there's breakthroughs when we do this? If you need some kind of healing, you need a deliverance, you need a breakthrough, this very well could be the time for you. Just lay hold of it by faith. And so faith is never a feeling. Don't go by faith. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by sight. Go by faith. When that man had prayed for me, if I had gotten out of faith and started speaking negative, like, well, I don't feel any better, I guess nothing happened, I guarantee you it would have killed the healing in my life. But as I believed God and stayed in faith, God finished that healing. Amen? So the Bible says in Romans 4:17, faith, it talks about Abraham believed God and called things that are not as though they were. And so there's this speaking faith about things. There's things right now, one thing we're praying about, God spoke to me at the beginning of this year that there would be barriers that are clearing, right? So you know what I'm saying every day? Lord, I thank you that the barriers are clearing. And you know what's been happening? Gradually, barriers have been clearing. So when God told me that, I didn't think that it was just going to happen in a 24-hour period. And if it didn't happen in that time, that I was going to start saying, well, I guess God's not going to do it and all that. I'm not going to do that. God said that barriers are clearing. Barriers will continue to clear until they're completely gone because God said it. Everything God's ever told me, he's always done it. Sometimes it's taken longer than what I wanted. How many have ever experienced that? But sometimes even though it seemed to delay and it seemed like the exact opposite happened after God told me that, still, as I stayed in faith, eventually it happened. God is faithful. But we have to be a people of faith that believe him, okay? And so even tonight as I came, I know that God's going to touch you. I've been seeking the Lord this week, getting away, spending some time with him. And God really touched me where I was. And so I want to go ahead, let's pray, and if you could, you can do whatever you need to do back there. We're going to shift out of this sermon time, and let me pray, And then we're going to go through and pray for those that want prayer. But Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you for whatever people need healing. They need a breakthrough. They need a deliverance of some kind. They need something to break through. Lord, I thank you for breaking through for them. Lord, I also thank you for a deep, rich, significant impartation, specifically for prayer, because I believe that there's a faith element right now God is preparing in us that's going to dovetail into a very significant teaching on prayer. An extended, in-depth, how do I pray? How do I become a powerful prayer warrior? How do I get in the presence of God in prayer? And so we're going to get into that, and I'm going to spend probably several months on that, but I believe God's going to take us deeper in prayer than we've ever been. But before that series, Lord, I thank you for an impartation of the anointing to prepare us in the Spirit, to prepare us to become prayer warriors. Now, Lord, I thank you for that, and I believe that there is an anointing for prayer. And Lord, I thank you tonight for that powerful move of the Spirit in people, that there's going to be a fresh anointing, maybe even a fresh baptism in your Spirit of fire tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it now. Amen. All right, so we're going to get into